tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, what's going on, my beautiful people? It's Thursday. You know what that means. Another beautiful day inside the Black Actor Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce, and joining me in the studio today is an amazing actor. He is the creator, showrunner, and star of Emmy-winning drama series, Giants. The Black Actor Studio is very proud to have Mr. James Land. What's good, buddy?
What's up, bro?
How are you?
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, of course. Welcome, welcome. How you doing today?
I'm good. Awesome. How you feeling?
I'm great. You know, good. Blessed. Okay. I'm in here.
That's
we in here.
2020.
Level up, right?
You ready for it, bro?
I'm ready. I was born ready. I was ready last year. No. I want to say congratulations on Giants. First off, tell us a little bit about your character on the series.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start for those who may not know. Mm-hmm. Giants is it's a coming of adulthood drama series that originally premiered on Issa Rae's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Created it, wrote it, first season I directed it, starring it, and it pretty much chronicles three millennials of color who are living in Los Angeles, and we watch as they navigate adulthood. But in addition, they are dealing with very specific internal giants.
Right.
So we tackle issues from mental health, sexual identity, and just trying to find your purpose.
Okay.
So I'll play Malachi. Yep. Malachi, he's an interesting guy. For the most part, his giant within the show is him grappling with his purpose. He finds himself in L.A. after leaving a corporate job, and he felt like, you know, he had this calling to be in the city like a lot of us, you know, do. However, Malachi unfortunately falls into some of the pitfalls that, you know, folks who move to L.A. fall into. He gets into drugs. He gets caught up with this girl. He's a good guy at heart, but he can at times be manipulative. And so he's extremely layered and complex. He ends up moving in with one of his good friends, this guy named Ade, and Ade is attracted to him. Ade is struggling with his sexuality, so he's kind of playing into that.
Right.
Then he moves in one of his best friends, and as we find out in season two, his ex-girlfriend into the apartment. And so you have these three characters literally living on top of one another while grappling with their issues.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people can relate in here in LA, right?
Right,
For sure.
I think I left probably one important part out that kind of makes up Malachi and the trajectory of his story is he's struggling to pay rent because the dreams, you know, aren't working, and so he gets into escorting. And, you know, it was just like a story I had heard quite a bit
in the
city. So I was like, you know what? I want to explore that,
right?
You know, through a character.
Okay. That's dope. Well, we're definitely going to talk more about Giants later on in the show. But here in the studio, we like to start off at the beginning.
All right, let's do it.
Where were you born?
Small town, Titusville, Florida. It's near Orlando.
It's near Orlando.
Yeah. So born and raised, but went to college in Tallahassee. Went to Florida A&M.
Okay.
University.
Nice.
So I'm a Florida boy at heart, but I moved to LA directly out of undergrad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how was the family dynamics growing up in the household?
Yeah. So mom and dad, an older sister.
Older sister. Oh, mm-hmm. The baby.
I'm the baby.
Baby's in the house. Hey.
Baby too.
Yes, I am.
How many siblings? Four. Okay.
Yep. God bless. That's my mom. And so how was it in your household as far as like watching your, you know, people like you on TV? And did you have any people or actors or directors, producers you looked up to?
Yeah. So for me growing up, man, we didn't have cable.
Okay.
And so I was a fan of like TGIF. So anything that came on network television is pretty much what I watched.
Okay.
I could definitely say I remember being a big fan of television and film. I think about like Family Matters. I think about Martin. Mm. I think about like Living Single and A Different World. So those were the
classics.
Shows that I grew up on. And if you think about it, being a 90s, you know, kid, we had a lot of black shows.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot to look up to.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think, you know, I wanted to be an actor, mm-hmm. you know, then. So I wasn't necessarily watching television and film saying, I want to be that or that's going to be me one day. I just always knew I enjoyed it. I was always a creative,
right.
you know, child. And my parents and my family was always supportive and encouraging of me, you know, being a creative, nice. But it was more so through like church. Like I used to do church plays. I used to draw and write poems. And so I was always creative, but right. I didn't discover filmmaking until I got to college.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was sort of through acting. Like I stopped playing sports.
Yeah.
When I got to FAMU, I'm 6'5", you know, tall guys.
Of course. And so, I mean, you got to play sports.
You know, growing right. up in a urban setting,
yep.
we don't often encourage, you know, young black males to get on a stage or to exactly. do theater or to sing and dance.
Yeah.
And so the only thing that I was really encouraged and pushed to do was to play sports because I was so tall. And I did that. And you know, entertainment or just being creative or theater and acting was just like a side thing,
right? Right.
Quick hobby or something that was encouraged through church. Go and be in that, you know, that Christmas mm-hmm. play, or okay, you got your Easter speech together, or you gonna sing in this church choir. That's yeah, what you gonna do. Yeah. But I really enjoyed and I love those things, but. Going to college and stop, you know, when I stopped playing sports, it opened the door for me to ask myself, okay, what else do you enjoy
what else
doing?
Is out there?
And
yeah.
I wanted to act, and so I started auditioning for student plays.
Okay.
And then that led me over to Florida State auditioning for student films, and the rest is kind of history.
Hey.
That's when I said, you know what, this is it.
This is
what I want to do.
So you started acting first, and then mm-hmm. the other yeah. creative.
Definitely.
Parts yeah. journey started seven. Okay, yeah.
It came quick though.
Well, yeah,
it came really quick.
It always
I made my first film in college.
Nice.
So I knew right away that I also wanted to be at the helm
mm-hmm.
of my own projects.
Dope.
Yeah.
Did you have any nicknames growing up?
Nah, not really.
No, really.
My dad calls me sometimes by my middle name.
Uh-huh.
He'll call me Robert. My dad will call me JR. And so now my Instagram handle is JR Bland. And
yeah.
so a lot of folks call me JR. And I'm like, hold on. My dad calls
right.
me JR. My name is James.
That's for someone special. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But okay. Beyond that, nah, man, I was always just James.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And so, yeah, you always wanted to be at the helm of your projects,
mm-hmm.
like you saw that, and it's very interesting. A lot of actors, you know, go into that as well, mm-hmm. directing, producing. What was one of the biggest challenges you ran into on your first time for your first project?
I feel like my mic is like high.
Oh no, you're good.
Okay, challenges. Just really not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
How to put a project together. And so I would say I made a lot of those first-time filmmaker mistakes, not knowing much about sound, you know, not knowing or having the experience of taking something from script to screen to and or from production to post-production.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sound issues or framing, you know, blocking, things of that nature. I think a lot of things when you're a first-time filmmaker and when you don't go to film school,
right.
you don't have anyone tell you, all right, these are some of the do's and these are some of the don'ts. So I made all of those mistakes, which is great and which is cool because with each project, I got a little better and better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For sure. That's dope, though. I mean, it takes a lot of work, a lot of trial and error,
yeah,
right?
Does. Yeah.
So tell us about that transition from undergrad, right, when you mm-hmm. moved out here to L.A. Tell
yeah.
us about that transition. What was something that,
right.
that really like, oh, I'm in L.A.?
I got robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, within my first 6 months. So I graduated from Florida A&M with my bachelor's in business administration. So I study business.
I'm just going to move your mic a little bit for you.
Okay, cool. Hi.
Yeah. There you
All right,
go.
Boom. Just All right, cool. So I studied business at FAMU, but I moved to L.A. and I knew I wanted to work in film. I didn't have a job. I didn't have really any friends or family out here.
Mm-hmm.
However, I had met Will Packer during,
yeah.
I want to say, my sophomore year of college because he was doing Stump the Yard.
Yeah.
And he's also a graduate of FAMU. So he had came back, him and Rob Hardy, and they did a bunch of promotions for the film. Had a chance to meet them. We're also frat brothers.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, bro, I want to be a filmmaker. So Will was actually the one who said, have you made a film? And I said, no. He said, go make a film, then come talk to me. So I spent my senior year working on my first film. Was hitting Will up like, yo, what's up, bro? Like, I'm graduating. Looking for some opportunities. A job. Did not hear back from Duke. So
uh-huh.
I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to just move to L.A. I got here, ended up getting a job at Macy's to just have, you know, some type of income coming
right,
in.
Right.
And I was here for 2 weeks and got a call from Will Packer's assistant. And she said, I would love to offer you an internship However, the movie is shooting in LA, so it would require you to come to LA for the duration of production. And I'm like, cool, I'm already here. I kind of hit the ground running. Within 2 weeks, I was on the set of Takers. It was a film with Chris Brown and Idris Elba. And it was this action heist film, and I was the assistant to the producer. So I was in the office, like Monday through Friday, answering phone calls, scheduling appointments. But after 5 p.m., I could go to set, and they shot a lot on the soundstage. So I was like in it, in the thick of it, like on a studio set. Mm-hmm. But then that ended. You know, the film shot for 3 months. Will went back to Atlanta, and I'm still here in L.A. with no job and, you know, trying to figure out what's next. And so I went back to the mall, and I started working at Abercrombie and Fitch. I was like one of those guys in the store standing shirtless.
trying to get you to buy all the Lau cologne and stuff.
And so it was around the holidays, and I was working late. One day I didn't have a car. I was on the bus. I was leaving work, walking home, was talking to my friend on the phone, and two guys literally rolled up on me with a gun and said, give us your shit. Robbed me at gunpoint, took my cell phone, my wallet. I had my backpack with my laptop, you know, in it as well, and I had been working on my scripts, and that was the one thing that I would not give up. So we ended up getting into a physical altercation, and by the grace of God, the gun was a BB gun. But they literally pointed it at me and was pulling the trigger. And I didn't find out that it was a BB gun until I realized I had like literally objects lodged in like my skin. So I had to go to the emergency room. I ended up going to like a plastic surgeon doctor to remove them, and he kind of removed them from the inside of my mouth. So that was like my first, okay, I'm in Hollywood. I hit the ground running. I had this really great experience being on the film set. That all went away, and now I'm here with no car. I'm working at the mall, working in retail. I have a college degree. And I just got shot in the face. Like, do I want to stay here? is this gonna work out? And what is the trajectory of, you know, my career gonna be? Right. And I made the decision to stay. And if I could tell you, like, that was literally the catalyst for me doing Giants. Because after that experience, I had this conversation with my mom, and she encouraged me to stay in LA because sometimes you have to, you know, fight for your stuff, like, you know, David in the Bible. And so I wrote a short film, and I called it Giants, and I never made that short. And when I decided to do my own digital series, I dug that short up and said, you know what, this is thematically, you know, the type of content I want to create. So
what a story on
man.
I want to say thank you so much for joining me in the studio again. And also thank you for anyone who's watching out there. If you enjoy what you're seeing, loving this interview, go ahead and hit thumbs up. Subscribe to Black Hollywood Live so you can see every week new episodes here inside the studio. Also, and you can go check out the entire season one at onchannel.com. That's www.theonchannel.com. You can stream the entire first season of Inside the Black Actor Studio. Special shout out to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos for allowing me to bring these amazing guests every week and share their stories. Thank you. That was a lot. That was a lot to happen. Anybody would be like, okay, I'm getting my ass out of here. But
I thought about it.
But kudos to you. Kudos to you. So after that, what was one of your first, like, biggest role that you would say in acting?
All right. So after that experience or just overall?
And overall.
Overall would definitely be Malachi. It was a role that I created. But I learned early in my career that I would have to create, you know, my own roles. I'm 6'5", I remember when I told folks I wanted to be an actor, a lot of people told me it was going to be really difficult for me because a lot of actors are short. And I now see it even when I see myself sometime on screen. I'm like, I am huge, bro. I'm a big guy. And even just being in acting class, you know, we talked about Margie Haber. And, you know, we put everything up on a camera in class. And when I would watch it back and I would see myself, I would be like, yeah, I'm big. And so Malachi has been the most challenging and also the most rewarding character that I've played prior to that, you know, being a young actor, really with no credits to my name, the types of auditions that I was getting were like under fives, mm-hmm. and things that were super specific to my size and my height. So the basketball player, typically that's like a jock. Mm-hmm. And just also, unfortunately, a lot of times as young black actors, we don't get offered roles that are complex.
Yeah.
But that really allows us to flex and to grow and to challenge ourselves. Oftentimes they're very surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the opportunity to not only create, you know, a character, and then bring on a writer's room that really helped me push his character to a place that I was extremely challenged, you know, playing him in a lot of the scenes that, you know, I had to do in our second season. But Malachi has been the greatest gift
of my career. What's some of the, like, because we have a lot of, you know, actors watching and people in the industry, what's something, great advice you can give them in starting their own projects, you know? I mean,
sure.
Is that how you got into SAG, like creating your own digital content? Or
No, actually, I did background.
Okay.
I was a background actor, so I had got vouchers.
Yeah.
So I was SAG eligible, but doing my own series made me a must join.
Oh, gotcha. Because the new media.
Because the shows were... Yeah, we're SAG signatory.
Okay.
Under new media.
Yeah.
And so in order to do my own show, I had to join the union.
Right.
But initially I did the groundwork of just doing background work.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And if someone's, you know, wanting to start their own projects and all that, what's like one piece of advice you would give them?
Yeah, find your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Because filmmaking is a team sport.
It is.
And we can't
do
it by ourselves.
For sure.
And so if you can link arms with other folks who are equally passionate about the type of content you want to create, you can go further together.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. Any movies out right now that like really inspire you to start more work or to work with someone?
Currently, I would say Just Mercy was probably the last film that I saw that I was like, man, I'm really passionate about social justice.
Yeah,
I did a lot of it in college, and I've been telling myself, even as a filmmaker, I really want to find my Fruitvale station.
Mm.
And so to watch Michael B. go from Fruitvale, you know, to do you know, a film like Just Mercy, I definitely want to work with that dude. Definitely want to work with Ryan Coogler, and Bill Street was the other film. Barry Jenkins is, you know, probably one of my favorite directors right now. Also, I'm really, really impressed by Yaya, particular, you know, Watchmen. I'm like, I like that dude.
Watchmen,
not only Watchmen, but also that that Black Mirror episode.
Mm.
So he's made it to like my list of favorite actors.
Right.
Okay.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the experience and the feelings you got when about the Emmy and when that happened, what was going through your mind?
Okay. So, you know, season one, we were nominated for two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. It was a great learning experience. It was kind of unexpected. Mm-hmm. Even for myself, I was nominated as an actor. I didn't see that coming. I was more so pushing, wanting the show to get the nomination. So in a lot of ways, it was validating. Because, you know, as actors, in particular for me as a multi-hyphenate, being a writer and director, I sometimes doubt, you know, myself in front of the camera a lot.
Right.
So to be recognized is a validating experience. But season two, it felt like all of the work that we had done to really make this digital series feel synonymous with a television show. Like, that was the goal. Like, I wanted Giants to be able to stand side by side with anything on network or cable television. Mm. I think we accomplished that. And being able to add not only 11 Emmy nominations, but two wins, really, you know, said, all right, we're out here, and the work was, you know, not in vain. So it was great.
That's awesome.
I think the best part was being able to experience that with like the entire cast and crew because we had become a family. And so it's just, you know, it's a lot of fun to win, you know, with your friends.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. To share that win, that's amazing. Yeah. So what's next for Giants?
Oh, man, I'm figuring it out.
Yeah.
So the real deal, because I probably get asked that question almost every day on social media.
Uh-huh.
We did two seasons,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And we licensed, that's the key word, licensed the show to a network, Cleo TV. They're a brand new network.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they don't have the money
okay.
to fund a third season, a full third season of our show.
Okay.
So I'm still at the place where I either have to go out and independently, you know, raise these funds or... you know, wait on a network to come around and see the value in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of not on the waiting team.
Right. Nope.
Yeah, I'm not waiting.
Not at all.
So what's next is a Giants movie. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do an independent film. I want to continue or maybe close out, you know, the story
okay.
Through a feature film.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, this is such a unique interview, you know, having... an actor, producer, director, yeah. writer, like just really creating something, going mm-hmm. for it, and it also taking mm-hmm. a stand. So
yep.
that, once again, congratulations.
But
also, is this like, did you find a production team? Is it something that you got your friends together? You know, how did the funding and all that stuff happen for you?
Yeah, so season one was completely funded out of pocket. I was working a full-time job at TV Land. I was a digital producer on The Soul Man. So I was there.
Come on,
so
Soul Man.
I would work at TV Land Monday through Friday, and I would funnel parts of my check, you know, to Giants, and we shot on the weekends. We shot on Saturday and Sunday. In terms of the team, man, small crew. Mm-hmm. I had the bare bones. I had a director of photography. I had a sound guy.
Hey,
you know,
there you go.
Every now and then we had like a gaffer
right.
for certain scenes, but we use a lot of natural lighting. But my director of photography was a gaffer who was aspiring to be a DP.
Got it.
So he was willing to come out and shoot Giants for almost little to nothing.
Yeah.
Like his name is Diego. I wasn't paying Diego much money. And so we just really made it happen on a shoestring, like one shoestring. We didn't even have two shoestrings. We had one. We made it happen. Then I did a crowdfund campaign to raise funds for post-production. We raised $10,000off of Indiegogo. But I also edited like four of the six episodes. But we had to go through color correction. We had to go through a sound mix, you know, music, you know, the whole nine to give it that polish. And then season two launched another crowdfund campaign. We raised $17,000. I brought on two additional producers to help facilitate the production of it. Again, friends, people that I knew.
Right.
One of my frat brothers, and then someone that I had worked with at Sony. So a lot of the folks on Giants were already in house. So
right.
they were people that I knew. They were friends.
Right. Right.
And then I went out and aggressively raised six figures for our second season through product placement and brand sponsorship.
Hey.
So I took the success of a first season, having that business degree.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
from
FAMU, come through.
You know, we created a pitch deck and we went out to brands and we said, this is our show. We're on Issa Rae's YouTube channel. We're averaging this amount of views per episode. This is our audience. That's the great thing about YouTube is you get very specific back-end analytics. And I went to brands that I knew wanted to speak to that audience.
Mm-hmm.
And a large part of Issa Rae's audience is African-American women,
yes.
millennials,
right.
and there's a lot of buying power
mm-hmm.
in that. So if you look at Giants Season 2 really close, you'll see a lot of natural hair care products. We did a partnership with the Ace Healthcare Foundation that directly wants to speak to the African-American community because
mm-hmm.
of how disproportionately we are affected by, you know, the HIV virus,
right.
Like MillerCoors. So yeah, we got really smart and creative.
Okay.
And then we partnered with an organization called Leaders Up, and they came on board as executive producer and also helped us to fund the show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So you know, we talk about actors, you know, they always want to work up, you know,
mm-hmm.
but you
yeah.
need to you work around you and then you
sure.
move up together, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
you see all, you know, Denzel and Samuel mm-hmm. and
yeah.
Spike Lee, they all work together and
yeah.
moved up. But,
absolutely.
You know, you got to use what's around you and mm-hmm. the people you know and then
mm-hmm.
work up together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beast. That's a lot of work you did.
Incredible. Yeah,
was there ever a moment where you just wanted to throw in the towel?
Yeah. Giants was hard.
Yeah.
It took me 2 years to finish season one.
Mm.
It took a year of production. It took a year of post-production.
Mm.
Submitted it to Sundance. It didn't get in. And I was like, fuck, what now? And I literally was like, all right, I got to put it out. So hit up Issa. She said yes to putting it, you know, on her YouTube channel. And then going into season two, I remember after we finished shooting episode 203, I was like, how am I going to get through four, you know, more episodes? It was extremely challenging because not only was I show running, I was a part of the writer's room. I was a star. I was on set every day. We're shooting in my apartment. So it was like, I could never get away,
right,
you know, from Giants. And I was also picking up equipment. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we would prep Monday and Tuesday. On Wednesday, I was picking up equipment, going to get a haircut. I would get home, work on lines, and we were shooting on Thursday. We would shoot Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday, was still back prepping for the next episode. Location scouting, casting, you know, the whole nine. And so, yeah, it was tough, but it was all worth it.
Yeah. And during this, you're still working at TV Land.
No, so I quit TV Land to do Giants full time.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. So after season one, when I decided to do a second season, I was like, all right, if this show is going to be what I know it can be, uh-huh. it's going to take all of me.
Right.
And so I was the only person full time on Giants. Everyone else worked another job. So my other producers had day jobs. Uh-huh. One works at AT&T. Another producer worked at OWN. The cast all had jobs. You know, Vanessa was an assistant to the showrunner of Ozark. Mm-hmm. And so we were working around folks' schedules.
Nice.
And so I was full time.
Okay. Yep. All right. Man.
Yeah.
So what any personal demons or anything that you deal with day to day now?
Yeah.
Just in, you know, in this journey.
For sure. You know, for me, doubt has been really big, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, even I've had certain successes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that I would be, I think, more confident than at times I find myself doubting, like, my ability and wondering, am I smart enough? Am I good enough? You know, I'm still auditioning, so I'm still in rooms weekly.
Uh-huh.
Even after being nominated, you know, for an Emmy as a performer, is I think in this city, oftentimes, like they say, you're only as good as your last project.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once that project is done, it's like, what's next?
What's
and
next?
You know, at times you've seen careers kind of stall. And you don't want your career to also stall. And so I've really struggled with just, like, trusting my brilliance and believing that I am brilliant has been even a thing that coming into 2020, I've been telling myself, yo, like, trust your brilliance, you know?
Yeah.
And even with that, anxiety has been, you know, a thing that I've been very open in terms of, like, my struggles, not only as an actor going into an audition room, but learning to, like, take that anxiety and, like, transition that energy into energy that I can use for the character.
Right.
But, like, I just wrote my first feature film this year, and even the writing process of that gave me a ton of, you know, anxiety. So I would say those are, like, two of the hurdles and the obstacles that I'm still working to overcome.
And that's, it's, I mean, especially in the entertainment industry, a lot of people deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, what's one piece of advice or something, maybe a technique you use that can make people realize that they are enough?
Yeah, man. Again, that tribe is important. I have go-tos. Like, I have two friends, Vanessa and Jay, that I go to with, you know, all of my insecurities, and this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking, hey, I got this opportunity. And they really, surround me with positive thoughts and remind me of not only what I've done, but what I'm made of.
Right.
And so finding that tribe is important. Meditation is great.
Yes.
I'm on this 21 days of abundance meditation right now. So just kind of centering myself and doing those daily mantras of telling myself that I am enough and everything that I need is inside of me.
Right.
You know, already. And you'll forget it sometimes throughout your day. But if you at least start your day and get in the practice of allowing that to be in your consciousness,
right.
You'll find yourself tapping into it, you know, a lot more.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but you got to exercise it.
So I want to talk briefly about the pitching process.
Mm-hmm.
So you contacted Issa Rae, you know, on her YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
How was that process for you? And do you have, like, a favorite moment speaking to her or meeting with her?
Yeah, you know, I've known Issa for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Issa and I met when she first launched The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. Okay. I want to say she had maybe two or three episodes up. Mm-hmm. I had just launched my very first web series in L.A. And so we already had a pretty decent relationship. Nice. And even before Giants, I had done three other shows on her channel. Mm. And so we had a show called First that was created by Jamila Biggs. She was also the star and also co-starred Will Catlett.
Okay.
And so that was the first show that I actually had on her channel. I was an actor, nice, producer, and director on that. And then when Amanda Seales moved to L.A. and she wanted to do her own web series, I came in and I co-directed Get Your Life, and that was also on Issa's channel. And so when Giants came around, it was like, yo, East.
I was like, what's up?
What's up? You know? And she just knew my work. So it was easy. It wasn't much of a pitch.
Okay.
You know, honestly, it was literally an email like, hey, and I had all of the episodes done, six episodes. I could just send a link and say, I got a show. you know, I want to put it up. And it's a great, like, exchange because right, the show was already produced, and literally they serve as a distribution arm.
Right.
And so it keeps the channel going while she's busy.
For sure.
Doing an HBO show.
Is she really that awkward?
No, you know what? Issa, man, I think what we saw in terms of that character on Awkward Black Girl was a lot of Issa Rae, but she's blossomed.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so much. And I think we even see that in her character in Insecure.
Right.
She's coming to herself, you know, in a way. But I think that awkward, you know, black girl is still, you know, there at the core.
It's still there, yeah. It's going to be inside.
She's a bit more graceful now. With a little bit more money.
Right. That part.
Yeah.
What's something that because you're still going out for auditions and things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you see yourself in the future as being more behind the camera or in front? Or are you just going to keep doing both?
I'm going to always do both. I'm a creator.
Okay.
You know, and so there are definitely things that I will produce, mm-hmm, and maybe things that I write or direct. But I think I'll always be in front of the camera. I really admire the journey of an Issa Rae, of a Donald Glover, of a Lena Waithe, and how they've been able to balance, you know, the two. Mm-hmm. You know, Issa's producing a lot of stuff that she's not in,
mm-hmm,
but she hasn't taken a hiatus, you know, from being in front of the camera as well.
Right.
So I plan to do the same.
Okay. Yep. That's dope. Anything that you do on set, any like rituals that you do with your team or anything before you guys start filming? Or
I mean, we typically pray. Yeah. You know, we typically do that prayer just to kind of jumpstart the day and just kind of start us on the right path.
Uh-huh.
I would say beyond that, for auditions now, I used to go into the audition room. You know, I'm the guy that starts a conversation or I go in with my headphones.
Really?
So that's like a new ritual that I've just started. I go in with headphones and I'm listening to music that is putting me in the mindset of the character.
Right.
And I've found that to be really helpful versus, you know, we're in the waiting room.
Yeah.
You know, we're having a conversation.
I ain't trying to talk.
What's up, bro? Where you from? How you been?
Yeah, no.
And I used to do that to take my mind off of, so I wouldn't be sitting there stewing.
Right.
I got to go do this. I got to go do this. But I've since changed that. So we'll see how it works out.
Okay. All right. That's dope. Well, next in this part of the show, we like to do fast round questions.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a set of questions and you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me the first thing that pops
comes
into your
mind. Okay, cool.
First thing.
All right, let's do it.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite word?
Word?
Too long.
Nigga. Real talk, I say nigga a lot. Nigga.
That was the first time. First time here on the shit. I need a minute after that. Oh, that's funny as hell. Okay, what's your least favorite word?
My least favorite word? Bored.
Bored.
I absolutely hate when people say they're bored.
Yeah, right? Because it's like,
what are you doing? I'm never bored.
Never bored. It's always
you
something
know how
much to do.
Stuff we have to watch on television. Okay. Why are you bored? You got Netflix, Hulu.
Right. Go read a book. Go
Disney
write
Plus?
Some. You know, Disney Plus, right? They need to put all these, they're going to put all these streamers on like together in one package or something.
I don't know what they going to do.
Because I got about 10 different, we're starting groups. Like you buy this, you buy that, and we'll just share everybody's.
Right.
What's something that turns you on?
Legs. I love thighs. Mm. Thighs, hamstrings, calves. Like, the one thing I don't have, when I see a nice pair of legs, I'm like,
come through.
Right.
All right, what's something that turns you off?
Turns me off. Just bad hygiene.
That can do it. That can definitely do it. A sound or noise that you love? A
sound or noise that I love. You know, like that Cash App. when you got money,
getting paid. That's the sound.
Like, send me money.
That's hilarious. <Yeah. laughs> You know, I don't even know what that sound is. My phone's always on vibrate. But
yeah, you better turn the
volume. I'm gonna try it. It's like music to my ear.
Right.
What's the sound or noise that you hate?
That I hate. I don't really like super high, like pitched voices or like really obnoxious kind of laughs.
Okay. So just the high pitch and the annoying
like
laughs.
I got a few friends who are really loud, and I'm always like, why are you so
nigga, come on. Your favorite word, right?
Latasha and Chitty. Loud.
And put them on blast, too. all right, pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Nice. Rihanna or Bey?
Ooh, come on, that's tough. Well, I'm gonna go with Bey right now because Rihanna ain't dropped his album.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Where you at, Riri?
I'm gonna have to go with Beyonce because you know she's been consistently
right.
More so, I would just say a little bit more visible for me right now. I was a big fan of the Coachella performance because I went to a HBCU.
Nice.
And she low-key inspired me a bit. The film that I just got done writing is about an HBCU homecoming.
I
started thinking about writing that film after Beychella because everybody was buzzing about it. And I'm like, that's a normal Saturday for us.
You know? Right.
So
okay.
Yeah.
That's dope. What profession other than your own would you like to participate in?
I would love to be a stripper.
Cool. A little Magic Mike going on. Let's go.
We'd love to.
Maybe your next feature?
Like a personal trainer or a massage therapist. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stripper. What profession would you absolutely not want?
I could never be a doctor. I get extremely squeamish. I don't like hospitals.
Yeah.
I can't even watch, you know, like if there's a medical show and they're cutting something, I can't do it.
No Grey's Anatomy, huh?
Not at all.
All right. Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Denzel or Will Smith?
Will Smith. I gotta go with Will. Yeah, I got a whole Will Smith story that I'll tell you when the cameras. It's not like it's a bad story, but it'll get long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to take up all of the time.
We got a little time for it.
Well, I've just always really admired Will Smith.
Likewise.
And so I started, because of his ideologies, I would love listening to interviews. Like, Will inspires the heck out of me. And I was listening to this interview like years ago when I was at Sony of him like manifesting and willing things into your life. And I was like, I wonder if that's possible. I wonder if I could will Will Smith into my life. And so I started doing it. And I would see him like on the Sony lot because I was working at Sony. I'd see him on the lot. We get closer. And I was like, dang. And then one day, literally, my boss comes in. He used to toss his credit card on my desk, and that meant go get him a coffee. So I go down, you know, to the lobby, and Will Smith is literally standing at the door talking to some guys in suits. And I'm like, there you go. And so, but he's in a conversation. So I kind of do the, you know, excuse me, I'm going to just, you know, walk by you. And he turns, he looks at me, he extends his hand, let me get your hand, and he says, it's good to see you. And I said, it's good to see you too. And I felt like I had willed him into my life. And he didn't say it's good to meet you. He said it's good to see you, like, because a part of manifesting and willing things is you have to see it.
Yeah.
So you have to spend time in your day-to-day, in your meditation, seeing yourself having a conversation, seeing yourself having the job. And so I just felt like that was really impactful for me.
That's crazy.
But Denzel, from an acting perspective, it's Denzel.
It's Denzel. Right.
But as a person, I would love to meet. Oh, I guess I have met Will, but Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story. I'll share something with you after.
All right, cool.
Next question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. We got Tay Diggs.
Okay.
Or Sammy Jackson.
Sammy Jackson. I was just watching The Time to Kill.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was just watching The Time to Kill last night. I didn't realize Samuel L. Jackson was 50 years old in The Time to Kill. He's 71 years old now.
Isn't that crazy?
That brother looks good for 71.
Isn't that
71.
Crazy? It's like Sicily. She's like 100. Yeah, still like doing
I just saw her in A Fall from Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, shout out to these black actors who have these longevity.
Let's go.
These long careers.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's be the same. Let's keep this going.
Yeah. I also really love The Word. So that's a, I love his use of that word.
Right. The mother. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right. We got two more questions for you.
All right, cool.
All right. Reading or watching?
Watching. Yeah, I'm a visual. I'm a visual guy. I need to read more.
Mm-hmm.
I was told, too, as an actor, that reading is actually better for us because it forces us to use our imaginations more than just watching.
Right.
And our imaginations are literally our strongest tool
exactly.
as actors. So
for sure.
My black ass need to read. But because I'm also a director, I love to watch films.
For sure. And last but not least, heaven exists. You get up to God. Mm-hmm. What would you like him to say to you?
Well done.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done. Well done, James. And I would like you to just go ahead and address the camera here. Mm-hmm. And just leave us with something the viewers are watching to just motivate and keep us going.
Yeah, I would say as a creative, I often tell people that I had to fail first to create a giant. And giant has been the best investment that I've made in my career. It has literally taken me from a small, cramped apartment in Koreatown to the stage of the Daytime Emmys. But I had to fail first to create a giant. So when I say fail, I'm not calling the work I did prior to Giants a failure, because to quote a line from Giants, calling something a failure is taking score too early. Call it a brief setback. Mm. In my case, it was more like stepping stones and learning lessons. I had to do other shows in order to really fine-tune my skill set as a filmmaker. And so I did a show called Fail. And I did a show called First. I did a show called Debt Collectors. I did a show called Wean Man Purgatory. I did a show called Get Your Life. And so the point is, I didn't arrive, at Giants. Although Giants has been tremendously successful, it's opened a lot of doors. It's the reason I have my agent, my manager, my lawyer. It really, positioned me to really be a player in this industry. But I had to do other projects prior to that you may have never heard of. And so don't despise small beginnings. Don't be in a rush to arrive to a particular place, and really take your time to fine-tune your craft, develop as many tools and skill sets as you possibly can, and know that Habakkuk 2:3 says, though the vision awaits an appointed time, that it will surely come. So if you have a particular vision, wait on it.
Yes.
And in the right time, it will come and it won't prove false.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
That. Thank you for
thanks
the fun and pleasure
bro.
Having
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
in the studio. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in and checking us out here inside the Black Actors Studio. I wish you all the best. Keep going. Stay strong. And remember that failure is just another stepping stone, right?
Is that right?
Well, go ahead and tell everyone where to find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at JR Bland. I'm working on my new website, but it's james-bland.com. It's not live right now. And on Facebook, I don't know, are we still on Facebook?
We go on Facebook sometimes.
You can also watch Giants on the Issa Rae YouTube channel, or you can go to giantsaseries.com.
Yes, everyone. And please, you can follow me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week, same place, same time, inside the Black Actors Studio. Stay blessed.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.